Hey folks. Hey everybody, hoping you can hear me. Not sure if this is working or not. I hope so. If it is, please say hello in the chat. Let me know. Oh, you hear me. Welcome everybody. Hey Kelly. Hey Scott, thanks for chiming in there in the chat. Great to see you guys. Welcome. Hey Debbie, welcome. Welcome back, I understand. Glad you're here today. Matt, great to have you here. Who else? Hey, while we're waiting and waiting for people to join us, I want to give people just another moment or two to jump on the live call. Would love to hear what accomplishment you're most proud of, and that could be anything. It could be personal, it could be professional, anything at all. Just interested in hearing what you guys have accomplished in your lives that you're most proud of. And it is a gorgeous day where I am. Perfect, perfect summer day. Low humidity, beautiful sunshine. Actually feels like fall today where I am, so it's just gorgeous. It's August 20th. We're winding down the summer, which is amazing. Awesome. Scott says two great daughters and one beautiful grandson so far. There you go. Congratulations. Kelly says going back to college in my 40s. That's a big accomplishment, Kelly. That's awesome. And Matt says, didn't quite finish the website, but I'm about 95% done. Hoping to finish today. Yay! That's great. That's actually a lot of work. Oh, and for a writer, I didn't write a very good sentence there, did I? What is accomplishment? Oh, wow. Debbie, hey there, adoptive parent of three great people. Yay! That is really amazing. That's a great accomplishment. I agree. Very cool. Cool. Well, we're going to dive in here. For those of you who are new, and I'm not sure, I think everybody on the call, I know Debbie, you've been away for a bit, but I think everyone on the call knows the drill. So I'm going to jump into my first question. And Matt, we already got your win, and it was a big one. Almost finished with your website. If there's anything else you want to add, feel free. But please share a win so we can all celebrate together. I think it's important to step back and think about what you've accomplished, and even in just the last few days, the last week. And anything in regards to moving your freelancing business forward, we'd love to hear about. We've got a small group today, so don't be shy. I'd love to hear from all of you. Let me know where you are. Any win can be small, doesn't have to be. Every win is a win. It doesn't matter what size it is. Kelly says, got my first client check. Wow. That's fantastic. Congratulations. You've been on a roll lately, Kelly. Really, really off to a strong start. I'm glad. And now the trick, Kelly, is to keep it going. So, but I'm sure you can. I have all the confidence that you can keep it going. So, Scott says, finally nailed a writing job. It's very small with a startup app company, but it's something, writing some educational material. Great. Scott, that's great news. I know you were kind of looking at that or waiting to hear back. So, thanks for sharing. That's terrific. Debbie says her website copy is mostly done, needs a little input, and you hired Ed's team to put it together. That's great. Website copy is a fair amount of work. Fair amount of work. Indeed. Awesome. Awesome. Great wins today. Love it. Awesome. Well, if you think of anything else, feel free to share. Just put that capital W in there because I want to dive into questions. And as I mentioned, we've got a somewhat small group, but I want to encourage you all to be to bring your questions. I know, Debbie, you had a couple, and I look forward to hearing from you. And but I want to encourage everyone to participate, ask questions, don't feel shy. This is something we're all in this together. And I know all of you are probably going through similar things, depending on where you are in your journey. And please keep your question focused and specific. We've got a small group, so we can definitely go around the room a couple times if need be. And let me know if you aren't able to talk, if I can't unmute you. So, Deb, yes, actually, if you don't mind, just one at a time there. I saw them in the email, and I don't have the email up in front of me, so I did not have a chance to. And there was a couple there. I may need to send you off in different directions, but you had some good questions. So feel free to ask away. Now is the time. Now's an opportunity to share your questions. What'll happen is, you know, if you're, we'll do our best to kind of think through this and answer your questions here. And if not, I usually send folks back to the Facebook group in case we can't quite get what we need for you here. So, but feel free to ask any kind of question, whether it's something from the very beginning of the course, maybe you're at the end of the course, somewhere in the middle, maybe you're just stuck, you're confused, maybe not quite sure the best way to proceed. So feel free. I'm also curious to know, I think things are interesting in regards to the economy and the business climate right now, but I think the business climate is starting to really turn things. I think things are starting to change. And I think that's great news for us. That's for sure. Hey, Scott. Scott, you're up first. Scott says that he got this entry job with a new startup company creating an interesting educational app. Assuming this really leads to something, any ideas on how payment usually works, or is that all across the board? Well, Scott, it really depends on a lot of different things. And I actually have a couple of questions for you. Hopefully I can help you because it's interesting. Creating an app is always fascinating. And I'm hoping you're in a place where you can talk. I'm going to unmute you. Hey, Scott.
Well, I'm assuming you can hear me, right?
I can. How are you?
There you go. Not too bad.
Good, good. So tell me a little bit about what they're going to have you do right now, and then we can talk about maybe where it could go.
Well, without going into the specifics maybe of this app, it's not launched yet. It's just sort of an idea. But it's got some, I'll call them rather heavy hitters backing them. It's pretty interesting.
Great.
My job in this case would be to just write some brief educational material that would be incorporated into the app. It's an app designed to help kids learn more about financial stuff.
Gotcha.
Financial terms and, you know, things like that. And so my position right now would be to just write what they call cards for all these, and it's a long list of financial type topics, you know, basic stuff that teenagers probably don't even know anything about, stock market and, you know, all that sort of stuff, banking and such. And so my job is just to write these short pieces kind of in a fun way that would relate to teens.
Gotcha.
And then they incorporate that in the app and they want to launch hopefully early next year.
Wow. So it sounds like a fair amount of work.
Well, each of these is like a snippet. I mean, it's a really short, we're not talking some long-winded thing. It would be
right.
Like literally maybe 300 characters per topic. And that's pretty short.
That is short. True.
But it's a long list of topics. Obviously, there's a lot of financial terms and stuff to get away from the, you know, the complicated stuff and make it simple so that, you know, any teenager would understand what this means.
Sure. That's it. So you've got two really big challenges, is to make it easily understandable and to keep it really short,
right.
Especially with some of these topics that you're mentioning. I mean, they're complicated. So that's going to be a real challenge. That's for sure. But it sounds like a great opportunity. Are you working with them kind of as have they given you any kind of you're like a part-time employee kind of a situation? Are you paid hourly? How is the setup right now?
Well, right now there really isn't a setup. I just got in contact with these folks about a week ago.
Okay.
And right now they've said, here, Scott, here's some sample topics, write us some stuff, and then let's get together and see if this, you know, works for you and works for us.
Got it. Okay.
So I'm not making one dime yet.
Gotcha.
But if I assume that I write some stuff that they like and they'll say, yeah, let's keep going with this. I'm just wondering, are there some type of normal ways that payment is handled? Or is it, like I said, kind of literally all over the board? It depends on whatever they want to do.
I would guide it. I would recommend that you guide it and be thinking about that now. So as you write these first few samples, you're going to get a feel for how long it's going to take you. And typically what Ed recommends, what we both recommend, is that you kind of pay attention to, so how long did this take? And that is for you to use that as a guide and an internal guide only. So in other words, you're not going to tell them, hey, it took me 2 hours to write this, or it took me 10 minutes to write it. That's not something that you would share, but just for your own sake, to get a sense of, okay, so how long do I think this is going to need, you know, this is going to require of my time, and then start breaking that down and saying, let's say for sake of discussion, it's an hour per card. And I'm assuming there that it's not just the writing piece, but then there's a little bit of editing you might want to go back and do or have someone else look at. And then there's, any research that you might have to do. Maybe there's a topic that you're not as fully right. comfortable with. You may have to do a little bit of research. So let's just round up to it, like let's say an hour. And what you would want to look at is then taking these and bundling them. So you might want to give them a couple of options as you get close to discussing payment. Is you always want to get payment for some part of it up front, some kind of a down payment, and then the rest just on a due date related and not project related. I would recommend against doing milestones for, oh, if I get five of these done, or that's with any client, no matter what you're writing, is try not to tie your payments to a completedness because so much can go wrong. So much can get in the way. So many things can happen that it could be months before you get paid for work that you did months ago because they don't think it's complete and you do. So just, you know, bear that in mind. But these are simple. This is a pretty simple thing. What I would do is put them in chunks. So I'll write 50 for X amount of dollars. I'll write 50 of these. And so every time you need another 50, you just pay me X amount of dollars. I'd keep it really simple like that. So if it's 50 and you're assuming an hour a piece, you know, that's 500 hours. How much do you charge an hour? That kind of thing. You can kind of back into it that way. Or you could change, because these are shorter things, you might want to bundle and say, look, I'll write 25 of these for this rate, but if you give me 100 of them, I'll do them for this rate. The other thing that I'd want to understand too from the client when you get to this point is, what are their expectations? So are they looking for two or three rounds of edits? Are you, and you know, is that something you're going to build into your price? Because that is going to extend the amount of time that you have to put into it. Are they looking for anything on the backside? So in other words, you're going to put those, they're putting these cards in there, but then they need to be rewritten because they're not happy. Maybe they start putting them in and realize, oh, these are way too long. Now I need you to go back and do it again. So you want to be thinking about all the things that could go wrong, if you will, and try to just build in for that in your own mind, in your own planning piece. And then I would do, keep it really simple to say, look, I'll do 25 for this price, but if you give me 100 of them, I'll do it for this price, that kind of thing. You want to be careful about, if you can, staying away from piecework. So in other words, each card's going to cost you $75. We don't want to get into that, right? We want to kind of stay away from that and say, look, I'll do it as a package and it'll include the following, I'll do rewrites, I'll do edits, whatever you decide is reasonable. And those are also things that you can use for negotiation. So if you sit down with this client and they say, that wasn't really our budget, then you can start saying, look, I'll add another round of edits in for you. And, that kind of thing. So you can start using those bits and pieces to as negotiation points in your discussion. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think so. excuse me. I think talking with the one gentleman, they're kind of looking, you mentioned no piecework. I think that's kind of what they're thinking right now, is more of a piecework thing. Yeah. Although I like the thought about, okay, let's do 25 of these cards for like X dollars.
Right.
And I think the work would come that way anyway. They're not looking for one or two or three.
Exactly.
They're looking for a pile of these.
Yep.
And I guess my only other question now, again, this isn't supposed to launch until early next year. So this isn't even an official entity yet.
Okay.
Would that change anything somehow? The fact that, this thing isn't going to launch for another 4 or 5 months, maybe.
I don't think so. The question that I would encourage you to ask in your first sit down with them, do your samples, send them over. And when you get a chance to actually have a conversation with them, is to start talking about, so what's your budget? Because they've got to have a budget for this. There's no way they are going to think that they're going to hire someone like you for no cost. So you want to get a sense of what kind of a budget are you working with? And how far along are you in the B2B program, the B2B launcher program, by the way?
Well, I have a full-time day job, which is soaking up about 98% of my time right now. So I'm kind of stalled on, I think, lesson six.
Ah, okay. That's okay. Actually, lesson six is one that that is where I would direct you. Session six has all of the wishbone screening technique and qualifying, effectively, different questions to ask, things like that. And then session seven is all about the quoting, how to quote, how to negotiate, and that kind of thing. So just keep that in mind as you move forward with this client, is that the negotiation piece, Ed has some great tips in session seven on how to do that, how to quote properly and that. So I would recommend, if you can, kind of pick through and try to get to session seven so you have some of that, because you'll get more ideas there as well about how you might be able to package this, if you will. But I really want to strongly encourage you to package it. So bundle in things, say, this is going to include two rounds of rewrites or edits. It's going to include, fact checking. It's going to include, research or, that kind of thing. Or maybe they have a target audience. Maybe you have someone in that age range that you could send it to see how it lands on them. I know I use my kids for everything when I'm writing this kind of stuff. It's like, hey guys, can you take a look at this and see what you think? Because if, I'm not in that demographic, so I can write really well, but is it going to be appealing to that demographic? So you might want to think about, Jesus, there's someone that you could use, or maybe a couple of kids, if you will, that you could use as, sounding boards for what you write. Is it, is this simple? Does this make sense? That kind of thing. And maybe you can do a little bit of testing on your side, if you will, almost like, I would refer to them as something like beta readers. Maybe not give a lot of detail, because I'm sure they're wanting to, they may want you to sign something to, non-disclosure, that kind of thing, especially where they're still in development. But simply sending the content only out to someone, in that demographic, or maybe they're going to do it. Are you responsible for having, getting that done, following up, that kind of thing. So who's going to do those pieces? So you could offer to get involved with that if you wanted to. Lots of different ways to blend more value into what you're doing as opposed to just writing. And that's what I want to encourage you to think about, is how can I blend more value in so that they're not as concerned about a per widget price. We want to be careful about that.
And I've already been kind of thinking in that direction.
Perfect. Yeah. Perfect. Yeah. That would be, it'll be interesting when you get to that. Lots of questions to ask them about, you know, how they see this playing out, what would be perfect for them, and what's the turnaround time for these things? You know, if they're like any other kind of a startup, they are planning for best case and scrambling when it gets to worst case. It's very common for, because they're new too, right? They're just getting started. They think, oh, you know, 5 months is plenty of time. Whoop, then all of a sudden, this is harder than they thought. Maybe they're getting more pushback. Maybe, you know, things can change. So just want to be giving you some ideas of just questions to ask, like how are you planning to, and you might want to ask them to understand too, how they're going to lay out their app. And so what I mean by this is I'm an organization kind of a person. I like to like understand what's the bigger picture here. So are you going to have a module similar to like Ed does in this program? Module one covers these things. Module two covers these things. Maybe you could price that for them by module. So all the cards that you need for module one, this will be your price, you know, that kind of thing. And maybe do that in stages. That way, each one of those modules, if that's the way they're doing it, each one of those modules has a separate set of due dates so that they can, you know, and who knows? I mean, I'm literally brainstorming here on different things that you might want to think about and be ready to ask.
Okay.
So the more you can think of that could go wrong, the better. And I don't mean that to be negative, but to think about so that then you walk in and you say, look, yeah, I could write. Obviously, I've sent you these samples. You liked them. But here's, you know, I'm thinking one step ahead and helping them with their internal process of getting this done, because it's not just as simple as writing, as we all know. So,
right.
Yeah, definitely. Very good. Be that consultant too. Don't be afraid to do a little consulting too. Even though this is your first go around with something like this, I'd be step up and don't be afraid to say, you know, question what they're doing. Say, oh, okay. And how do you see that playing out? You know, how do you see that working long-term or whatever? So you can help them think this through.
Okay. Thank you.
Awesome. Well, good luck. And please keep us posted. I can't wait to hear an update on this as you move forward with them.
All right.
All right. Take care. Great question. Thanks, Scott, for that. Very unique situation in terms of pricing, because, you know, as writers, we're thinking, oh, well, do you need an email? Do you need a white paper? Do you need web copy? I mean, these are the kind of standard things. And this is such a unique project for you, Scott. You really do want to think outside the box a little bit with how you approach it. All right. Kelly is next. Kelly says, do you keep prospecting even when you feel like you're getting close to capacity? Awesome question. Absolutely awesome question. Not sure how far you are in the program either, but when you get to session 8, which is the last session, I think you're pretty close, if I remember correctly, nearing the end. Ed talks all about systematizing your prospecting. And that's what session 8 is all about, is just creating a habit. And so when you first start out in your building your business, you're going to spend, I'd love to see you spending 75% of your time prospecting. I know that sounds like a lot. It is a lot. But when you don't have a client, that's what you want to be doing, is prospecting. You really want to be doing your research, reaching out to people, doing those warm emails, connecting on LinkedIn, in the good old days, going to networking events, things like that, whatever works in terms of you getting in front of people that potentially might want to hire you. Those are the kinds of things you should be working on. As you start bringing on business, this is a very, very common dilemma, if you will, where people say, oh, I'm just going to stop prospecting or I'm stop marketing. Not necessarily a good idea. One of the things we emphasize and that Ed emphasizes is to build prospecting into your weekly habit and then stick with it. Now, that doesn't mean that you should spend 75% of your time prospecting always. For you, Kelly, you've grown your business rather quickly. You've got some nice clients that you've brought on. And so now things have changed, right? Your situation has changed. You don't feel like you need to prospect. I agree. What I would do, though, is ramp down to a minimum level. So when you're busy doing client work, I would never give up everything altogether. And Ed and I both feel strongly about this. I've been through this myself where I was thinking, oh, I just landed this great client. It's going to be a great project. I don't need to worry about money coming in the door. And then boom, I get an email. Hey, we've changed our minds. We've got an emergency. We have to put the project on hold. And all of a sudden I thought I was going to be, you know, going out to dinner every night and having a good time. And now I can't pay my bills. So, you know, it's amazing how quickly things can come to a screeching halt for lots of different reasons. I've had it in situations where, yep, we want this program. We want to bring you on retainer so that we can work together on the marketing and marketing message and so forth, all these different things. And then, you know, oh, we're being bought out. And maybe the person that I was dealing with wasn't aware of it. Maybe it was a couple, you know, level or two above their head, and they just didn't know that that was in process. Lots of different things can happen. And so the value of prospecting and building that prospecting habit and maintaining it, you will never be unhappy that you did that. You'll never regret doing that. What I would recommend, Kelly, is that you think about scaling it way back. So as you grow and you add more clients and you get busier, you're going to want to scale that from 75%, maybe down to 20%, maybe 15% of your time. I suggest you look at it in terms of a weekly number that you'd like to have as your minimum, as your baseline. So maybe you're sending out 10 warm emails a week. So, and that's all. And maybe you're having 1 to 2 discovery calls a week, something like that. And that's it. You know, your numbers can shift dramatically in terms of prospecting, and you can definitely step it back, but you don't want to stop altogether. That's just, you know, it's the nice thing too, I have to say, about starting to get clients is that your approach is going to change because you're not feeling quite so anxious, and I dare use the term desperate, but sometimes you can come across as sounding very anxious and desperate when you're talking to clients or, you know, trying to reach out because you really need to get that first client, or you're feeling, you know, feeling uneasy about it or anxious. Once you start getting clients, the tone of your prospecting changes, and you may not even be fully aware of it. But what's nice about the prospecting that you do when you're in your situation, Kelly, is that it has such a different feel. It has a different message and a different vibe, if you will, to, hey, just want to let you know, this is what I do for a living. You know, this is what I specialize in. You may start sending things out. Hey, just finished a great project with a client in X industry, and excited about, you know, and I'm surprised, or I'm pleasantly, or I'm thrilled with the, you know, with the results that this client is receiving from the work we did together, that kind of thing. So you're changing your tone a little bit, where it's just, you're celebrating another client, you know, but you're doing it publicly in front of your prospects, that kind of thing. So it's interesting how your prospecting can change. And the tone of it changes as you move forward and start getting more confidence and start building your business. So long answer, the short answer is yes, keep prospecting, just lower it to a level that's, you have a minimum that you do no less than X number of emails, or no less than 30 minutes or 10 minutes a day or 15 minutes a day, or maybe it's 2 hours a week. So maybe you do 2 hours straight on Mondays or on Fridays or something like that, and you spend the rest of the week doing other, you know, doing your client work and that kind of thing. So that's something you kind of have to play with, but I strongly recommend keep prospecting no matter what. Keep marketing, keep you know, reaching out, checking LinkedIn, continue to reach out and connect with people. Make those habits part of your weekly activity. And you might go from daily prospecting to weekly, where I'm just pick one day, maybe I spend an afternoon prospecting, and that's it. And that's the luxury of being able to do that. So I hope that helps. If there's something more specific that you're interested in knowing, definitely type it in. I'm happy to help out. Awesome. Hey, Deb. Thanks for putting that back in. This is an interesting question. Debbie says, my previous writing was long ago, and she had done articles, books, CE programs in the health and fitness industry. Not generally available online. Some have never been assigned online to, some have even been assigned online to another author with the same name. Any thoughts on how to track down or whether I should even use it at all? How to get my work credited to me. More recent work, like last year, was in another industry altogether. These are definitely challenging. Deb, I'm hoping that you can come on. Where are you? Let me see if I can find you. I'm hoping you can unmute and I just have a quick question.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can. Hi there.
Hi.
Welcome, welcome. So question for you, when you say it was long ago, give me an idea. Are we talking 10 years ago or are we talking further than that?
Well, in the health fitness industry, it was in the 80s and 90s. And then in the early 2000s, I was in real estate. So I did a lot of writing for my own real estate practice.
Gotcha.
And then I've started traveling recently. So I got a gig last year with the RV Training Academy.
Yes.
So again, a totally different industry, but my area of most interest is still health, wellness.
Sure. Sure. So if the articles are that far in the past, they may not be of value. They may not be of as much value. And one of the reasons that I say that is because as I think about the health and fitness industry, and I think about since that time, since the 80s and 90s, how much it has changed. The philosophies and the approaches and everything. I mean, I've been a runner for 20 years, and I know even just with running, it's like, whew, you know, just the you know, how much water to drink or not to drink, and how much rest, and how much this and that. You know, it's changed. Everything has changed. The science of health and fitness has changed so much that I'm not sure they'd be of huge value. My concern, Deb, would be that if you spent a lot of time trying to track this stuff down, only to figure out that they weren't really all that terribly valuable to you to begin with. So I'd encourage you to think about, you know, is there something out there that's serious value that would be worth it? And I know you mentioned that there's a book, there's an author. Tell me a little bit about the book. Did you write a book on fitness, health and fitness?
I wrote a number of books. One was a textbook from McGraw-Hill on aerobic dance exercise. I've written chapters and other textbooks on kinesiology and biomechanics. Okay. And then I wrote some just practical manuals on exercise. And then I did some work for hire for Reebok on a yoga program and a cycling program.
Got it. So I think what makes sense as you're mentioning these. I mean, these are some pretty big brand names that are still very much alive and well in the health and fitness industry. So I think that in the copy that you use on your website, you can talk about all of the things you just explained to me, is that you've written these different pieces. Because you don't have an exact sample, I wouldn't worry so much about that. I think that moving forward, it would be more important for you to just say, I had this experience. You know, I know you've changed industries a couple times, but you know, you can say that you've, because typically with health and fitness, and correct me if I'm wrong, but even though you weren't working in that industry, you still probably kept a finger on the pulse, if you will. I mean, we usually don't walk away from things we're that excited about entirely. I mean, I assume you followed health and fitness all that time anyway. So I think that you could use what you just explained to me as really great copy on your website, just to say, you know, my experience includes, and it doesn't matter when that experience was, but my experience includes writing for Reebok and these different brand names, and then maybe even touch on, you know, chapters and books or writing about the topics like kinesiology and those kinds of things. I think that would be very powerful copy to help you pique your audience's interest in what you know how to do. So I would be just hesitant. Like I said, if you have a book that you wrote. The book, that is different. I think going back and trying to recapture that would be very important. But if it's, you know, if you're named as the author, that's definitely something you would take the time to do. But the other articles and such, not sure I think that there'd be as much value in them today as they would have been even 10 years ago, you know, a little bit closer to that time that you actually wrote them. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's kind of how I've approached the copy. I just don't have samples that I can link to very easy. You know, it would take quite a bit of work to track those things down, I think.
For sure. And I think there's other things that you'd be better served by focusing on right now, to tell you the truth. And I know samples are important, but they're not... I'd almost rather see you go out and find a current potential client and even do something pro bono where, let's say it's a local fitness guru and he or she wants to start blogging but really needs some help with the writing piece. Maybe you do a couple of blogs for that person pro bono or for low cost just to get you back in and get it much more current. People are going to want to see, you know what, yes, you wrote something. The other thing is, the other concern I would have is, you know, when did this show up? And, you know, and if it was never online because it was pre-internet or pretty close to that in some cases, that would be, I wouldn't want that to send the wrong message on your behalf. You're still really understand the industry, a very capable writer. I wouldn't want that to be a distraction for someone visiting your site or looking at the, because I think too with health and fitness, someone could read the copy, an article, and know, wow, this is really dated. I think they'd be able to tell, like, this is kind of dated. So I'm not sure, like I said, that it would be of much value. I'd rather see you looking for new opportunities to do some writing and then use that as samples. I think that would be where I would send you. And samples are something Ed does a great, he's got a great podcast or an article. If you go to b2blauncher.com and go to the articles and just search for samples on the word samples, he's got a great article in there about what he used and how incredibly unimpressive his first few samples were. So I think he'd be better served trying to find some more current projects to take on at either a low cost or something like that, just to get your foot back, you know, get you back in step with what's going on today. I think that would make more sense.
Okay, thanks.
All right. Well, good luck and keep us, yeah. I hope that, it sounds like you're heading in the right direction, especially working with Ed's team on your website. I think he'll appreciate that quite a bit. That's going to be a good thing for you to do to get you back in and running. All right, take care. Awesome. Thanks, Deb. Thank you for being here and for the question. Hey, Valicia, I didn't see you sneak in. Welcome. Just make sure I didn't miss any other questions. All right, Valicia, you're up next. All right. So I'm really having a hard time with my niche. I finally settled down and just picked one, but it doesn't feel quite right. And if I feel very unconvincing, I feel very unconvincing writing or talking about it when it comes to copywriting. Just for a little background, I have a science background, work in public health full time. And when I write sporadically, it's on personal issues, social injustice, parenting, and feminism. I don't have one or two passions that stick that I stick to all the time other than parenting. Any advice on this? I can't unmute because of my background, not a problem. Thank you for letting me know. I was just going to ask you that. All right. Let me just read through this again. All right. So one of the things I'd like to understand, Valicia, is you said you have a science background. I'm wondering if you could just let me know in the chat what the niche is that you selected, what you're focused on. And there's nothing wrong, by the way, with having more than one or a slightly broader niche, especially in the beginning as you first get started and get building your business. I think it's important to have a little bit more of a broad, not super broad, you can't say healthcare as your niche, because that's not really, that's just way too big. Let me know what your niche is that you settled on, and give me an idea of what you've been doing in terms of reaching out to people. Are you doing warm emails? Are you doing, what kinds of interaction are you having with people that for some reason you're feeling uneasy about? Because we want to make sure that you're talking about, when you're talking about yourself and about what you're capable of doing, you want to make sure that you're feeling comfortable for the most part. And I think sometimes in the beginning with this is I tell people often, especially coming through this program where you're just getting started, I absolutely understand that, gosh, I don't have any writing experience in this field, but I'm really interested in getting into this field. Or maybe I'm, I'm looking to enter or change things. I've been doing this, I'm burned out, I want to go into a different field. One of the things I want you to keep in mind is that I want you to really focus on your writing and your writing ability. So one of the things that we talk about is, yes, we'd love for you to leverage something in your background so that you can say, hey, I've got X number of years, I've got 5 years or 10 years in this industry. That's a bonus. But if you don't want to do that, or you're changing industries and you don't have that, then shifting the focus into your ability to write. And when I talk about that, I can tell you, and I'm sure all of you understand that, I say this often on these calls, is that we're much better writers than 90% of the general public. And I mean, no disrespect to anyone. But if you think about when you get an email from someone and how horribly written it is, punctuation, are you looking on, you spend any time on social media and you're kind of scrolling through comments and stuff. It's like, sometimes I got to read something 3 or 4 times. Like, I still don't think I know what they're trying to say. People are not good writers, generally speaking. And if you're in this program and you have a love of writing and you know that you're good at it, know that you're good at it, because writing is a skill and it's a bit of an art as well. And so your writing is probably a really strong trait. And so I would encourage you to be thinking about, how can I bring my writing to this industry in a way that's going to benefit my client? And that might be something to think about. Follow up. Valicia says, I focused on clean technology. I started doing warm emails, but haven't since April. Pandemic really slammed my full-time business. Gotcha. I have a short blog that I was maintaining on the site to present myself as proficient in this area, but it just kind of feels wrong. So as I mentioned, what you might want to do is step back and take another look and see if there's another part of that that Maybe even look at your background in science and see if there's something that you can start approaching there. And I know it's it might not be your number one favorite topic or favorite industry or best industry to call on, but your background in science might serve you really well, Felicia, in getting your business, your writing business off the ground. So if you've got this experience and you've got some writing experience in the science industry that you're already in, that could be a really great way. You might want to leverage that to get you off the ground and get you running, knowing that you're going to pivot. And I can tell you that the place that you start today is not where you're going to be. Nine chances out of 10, you're not going to be here 6 months from now in terms of calling on the same people or doing exactly the same writing. You're going to pivot. You're going to shift and make changes as you learn about the different industries. It's okay to get to a point where you start going in a certain direction and you realize, geez, there wasn't as much business here or as much need as I thought there would be. I'm really not enjoying the work. Maybe I found out I don't like writing case studies, or I don't like writing white papers. Maybe I want to do something different, some other kind of writing. So it's okay to make these subtle shifts as you build your business. What we try to recommend is that you don't do it every other week. We want you to really kind of dig in, give it your best, and send out plenty of warm emails, really push through and see what kind of response you get. So you have some real, you can't send out 5 emails and say, this isn't working. You need to be able to send out a whole lot more than that and figure out, is this really where I want to be and what I want to be doing? In your case, Valencia, I know that, that you're just not, just feel like you're, it's not natural for you to be talking about this. Maybe it just doesn't feel sincere. I would step back and take a look at why. I would ask myself why. What about this doesn't feel right? Is it because I don't believe in the technology right now? Maybe I'm not 100% behind it. Maybe I don't know as much about it. Maybe there's something that you're feeling. It might be imposter syndrome a little bit that's making you uncomfortable. Just, geez, maybe I don't have as much experience as I think I should. To be reaching out to these companies and talking about it. Examine the why behind what's making you uncomfortable to decide then, okay, is there anything I can do about it? Is there anything I can do about what's making me uncomfortable? Can I go and get some experience somewhere? How do I do that? Again, going back to the program, Ed and I both recommend doing pro bono work as a starting point, just to get your foot in the door into a new industry, especially if it's a new industry for you. That's a great way to open some doors. Find a smaller company, maybe a startup, maybe someone that's just getting going, or maybe they're just, their business is shifting. You know they need help, and it could be just a really great fit. And to do pro bono work, I recommend like one project. So if you approach a clean tech company, for example, if you decide you really do want to continue to move forward with a clean tech, offer to do a couple of blogs, offer to do rewrite one page of their website to update and refresh it. Maybe offer to do a short series of emails, maybe a 3 or 4 email series campaign, something like that. So it's a short, and that's what you do pro bono, not endlessly. I'll write your blog for the next 6 months. No, I'll write 3 articles for you or something like that, so that we can get to know each other, figure out if this is a good fit. So without you being able to come on, I'm kind of just touching bases on a couple of different things to be thinking about, but make sure that you're understanding yourself. Like, what is giving you that knot in your stomach? What is it about the this particular, going in this direction is making you feel uncomfortable? That's where I would start, I think, and then kind of back it up and say, okay, maybe it's time for me to change industries and focus on a different industry, which is perfectly okay. Just don't change every week. That's probably the take-home message. And I hope that was helpful. All right, Debbie, URLs that you're considering. So thank you. You've got 2 different URLs that you're thinking about, healthwellnesscopywriter.com is the one that you're considering. And then there is another one already out there that says healthwellnesswriter.com and should I stay away? So they are very close and it could be very confusing. Simple rule of thumb with URLs is to keep them as short as possible, as you already know. But also, you want to think about making them as unique as possible from others. That is pretty close, and I'd be concerned that you don't want confusion, especially where you're starting out. You're trying to get your business off the ground. They're a little too close for my liking. The one thing that you might consider is adding your name, maybe your last name. So maybe something like Ellison Health and Wellness, just to make it truly unique. That would be helpful. The other thing that you want to think about with a URL, and this goes for everyone, is you want to be able to have, you want a URL that is easy to understand verbally. And so what I mean by that is if I'm on the phone with someone and I want to give them my email address or my URL, I don't want it to be so long and such a mouthful that they misspell it and that they don't get to where you need them to be. The other place that you're going to be speaking your URL, this was something that a tip that someone gave me. It's a coaching program I went through for building your business a couple of years back. And I thought it was brilliant. It was, you know, you may end up on a podcast. You may end up on a webinar, teaching a webinar or something like that. And you're asked to give out your URL verbally to the attendees, right? So people are listening on their podcast. Maybe they're driving to work and you try and say your URL. If it's not easy to understand and easy to remember, it needs to be those two things. So that's just a couple of other tips for you, just things to think about. I would poke around, see what else you can find, Debbie, that is just going to make that a little bit more unique, because those two are kind of close together. There's only one, four letters difference, and yours is getting kind of, the one you've chosen is kind of long. And get creative too, in terms of, so, you know, you could even have something like Ellison. So one of the things that you want to be careful about is locking yourself into that industry. I know that's what you want to do, but would it make more sense to use perhaps your last name and writing services or something like that? I know that sounds kind of boring in some cases, but you want to be careful about, you know, future. What if I pivot a little bit and I'm not heading in this direction? I personally can tell you that I've changed the URL for my website 3 times over the last 7 years that I've been doing this. I think 3 times. And it's no fun, by the way. So, you know, be thinking about what's really going to serve you for the long term. One of the URLs I had picked was kind of cutesy. And then I realized I just kind of outgrew it. I realized that's just not going to appeal to the audience. And as my business advanced, as my business developed, I was starting to call in a more sophisticated audience. And so I didn't want to sound cutesy. And so I ended up, you know, so it was just a matter of, it's just experience teaches you this, that, you know, over the course of as time went by, I realized, yeah, time for me to change my URL. So I've done it a couple of times. I would advise against it, but just know that you might want to be just a little more thoughtful about how you present yourself through your URL. And I know it's tough these days because there's not a lot. The .com ones are interesting. They're definitely a challenge.
Could I ask
to find good ones?
Something to follow up there? Can you hear?
Hi, who's this?
Hello?
Hi, who is it?
Oh, this is Debbie.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I just wondered if I can get something like Deb Ellison Writer, Deb Ellison Copywriter. I don't like to go with Debbie, and I don't like to go with Deborah, since there's another author out there by that name.
Right. That's why I was suggesting just your last name.
Okay.
You know, think about that. Just do your last name. And you could even do something like Ellison Creative Copywriting or Ellison Creative Writer or something like that, or Marketing Writer. You know, try a couple of different things. I mean, I would recommend that you look at, write down a couple of different word combinations. And then, of course, go online, you know, and check it out, see if they're available. But try a couple. So, you know, here's my first, second, and third options for what I like. And just move your name around to different places, use different words, like marketing writer, you know, or something like that, or creative writer or something along those lines. Just mix it up and see what's available out there. You might find something that really just, you know, it just clicks. But yeah, use a couple different services or I don't know. There's plenty of different terms that you can try sticking in. Keep it short. Even Ellison Marketing or Ellison Creative. See what, you know, see what that is, if that's available and you know, if that makes sense. So you might be able to do something along those lines.
Okay, thanks.
Sure. All right, just scrolling through here, make sure I didn't miss anybody. There's some good comments in the chat. Thanks to everybody for chipping in and sharing your thoughts and sharing your ideas and suggestions. That's awesome. Matt, I think you're up next. His question, he says, related to other questions about niche, I have a lot of tech industry experience, so it makes sense that for that to be a niche I focus on initially, but I do like the broader description that Ed describes in one of the modules as companies with complex products. Is there a concise way to describe that broader target, which includes tech, without calling it any company with complex products, or should I just stick with the more concise tech industry description for my niche right now? Good question. You know, these are, again, these are things that are challenging at first. And I think what you want to be careful of, Matt, is to not be too over worried. One of the things that you might want to do is spend a little time, and not a lot of time, I'm talking, you know, 15, 20 minutes, and go Google some competitors, people that are writing for the tech industry, and see how they're positioning themselves. And you can borrow the same, if you see something you like and you think, ooh, that's kind of slick. I've done that before, where you look at some, you come across somebody's website and you think, ooh, I like the way that's laid out, or I really like the way they talk about this piece or that piece. It's really cool. You know, that really seems to resonate with me. There's no reason why you can't borrow that style. Obviously, you can't go word for word or anything like that, but just to get a sense of how are other writers positioning themselves in this same industry, and how are they talking about themselves? How do they, are they saying complex products and services, or are they saying tech industry? Are they saying, you know, how are they wordsmithing what they've put online? That would be my, probably the first thing I'd do is just do a little bit of research. It's also good to see who else is out there and how they're just overall, how they're presenting themselves to the world. But there's no right way. or no wrong way in terms of how you present yourself. I think it's just a matter of, again, come up with something that you're 80% happy with for this first round and for your website, so you can get it done and get it up online. And then seriously, in a matter of a couple of months, you're going to be fine tuning that content. I've changed the content on my website many, many times, and I still do. Sometimes I'll, you know, as my business develops, I realize, you know what, this would be, it'd be better for me to position myself this way, or to say it this way. It might be a better way to say that. As I start talking with prospects and working with clients, then I realize, you know, I begin to understand their needs better and what they're looking for. And then that's when my copy really starts to become much more targeted, and it makes more sense to both to my visitor. You know, it really resonates with my visitor. So sometimes it just takes a little bit of time for you to realize, oh yeah, this is, it, does it, you know, it's a fine point, Matt. And I think that there's not, are you going to chase anybody away by saying, you know, complex products or, you know, tech industry? No, not really. You really want to think about, the only thing I would do is, the other thing to think about is, how are people searching for you and for what you offer? How will people search for a technical writer or whatever, maybe a white paper for the tech industry, white papers for the tech industry or whatever it is, you know, marketing writer for tech companies. How are they searching for that? That's really what you want to be looking at, is how are, what are your prospects referring to you as, and how do they refer to themselves? And then how would they refer to you if, you know, if they found you, how would they find you? How would they be searching for you online? That's might be an even better way to help you fine tune exactly how you want to word what you do. Yeah. Cause you don't want to say, you know, like you were saying, any company. Well, yes, you want to avoid saying I work for any company with complex products and services. Maybe there's a complex product or service that you could specialize in, you know, at some point. I think it might be too soon for you to do that, but you may have specific background experience. I know you said you've got a strong background. Maybe it's in one particular, maybe it's software, or maybe it's a certain type of technology. So that it's a matter of you being found and also of you being appealing to the people that you're prospecting to. So, you know, fine tuning that, I would say, pick one of those, get it on your website, get your website done, and then roll with it for a while and see how it resonates. Is it resonating with people that you're sending, directing to your website? And if it is, stick with it. If it's not, tweak it. Hey, Kelly, let me just take a look. I want to make sure I didn't miss anybody. Kelly, I think you're up. I've been worried that my URL is too cutesy. Hey, Scott, take care. He just said he was heading to another call. He's working full time, so he's heading off to another meeting. Kelly, if you would just type in and let us know what your URL is. Funny, I started out with a kind of cutesy URL when I first got started and realized a couple of months in that I was like, that just doesn't feel right to me after. Hey, Kelly. Yep, I'm just looking at Matt. Thank you for your comment. Glad that was helpful. And Kelly says, yourcopypartner.com. I don't think that's super cutesy, depending on who you're targeting, but you're having some success with already, you know, you've come out of the gate with some pretty early success and you're doing well. And I know I took a look at, I reviewed your website. It's great. I wouldn't worry too much right now about that. I think that, again, streamlining, I think the thing for URLs, there's tons and tons of information about there about how to select a URL. If you haven't done it, just go out and search on that. Just, you know, how to select a URL for your business. You know, what's obviously short is better and that kind of thing, but, and you definitely want it to not be too complex or difficult to spell. And so in your particular case, your copy partner is very easy to say. And especially when you break it down that way with a very slight pause in between each separate word. So I would say all one word, yourcopypartner.com. And that would be very easy for me to say on a phone call like this or on a podcast or on a webinar, anything, any kind of time when you're even in person. You know, if you're out, you don't have a business card on you or something like that, and somebody asks you, it's, you know, easy for them to remember and say it. Easy for you to say it, easy for the person to hear and remember. And I wouldn't worry too much about that right now, Kelly. I think it's fine because it's not long. And I like that. And I think it's a matter of let your business evolve and see where it takes you. This might be something you'd be able to stick with for a long time. You don't know. It's too soon to tell, but I wouldn't waste too much time. You're doing a great job. You're attracting the right people. You're getting some business in the door. Keep doing what you're doing and don't start picking apart things that you've got in place already. I'd run with that for a while. You'll know. I can tell you, Kelly, that you will know. You'll get to a point where what's really fascinating about our businesses is they start off as infants and they grow. And just like a child, just like a human, you start off as an infant and you get into your, you know, elementary school and then high school and college, and, you know, your business grows very much the same way. It has a life cycle very much like a human does, I believe. And so at different stages, it's going to need different things from you in terms of supporting and growing and keeping it going. But also you're going to mature, if you will, into a different entrepreneur. So you're a fledgling entrepreneur right now, perhaps. Some of you may be coming from other businesses that you've owned. But many folks come into this program, they've never run a business before. They've never done anything like this. So they're fledgling. You're just getting started. And then as you get more experience, you start to realize, and your mindset evolves along with the business. And so that's the thing to kind of keep in mind, is that you'll figure out whether or not that still suits you, and whether or not you need to shift to something different. But don't be concerned about that right now. You're off to a good start. Alrighty, and I see Chris has got sharing some ideas with Matt. Thanks for that. And hey, Deb, yeah, I see that you had that question about Writer for Health. I think that's great. I think that's a simple, it's unique, it's a little bit different. Writer for Health, easy to say, easy to remember, and I like it. Great. We had some great questions today. Thank you all for being active and sharing your ideas in the chat as well. That's one of the things I love about when we come together, is that even though you folks are new, you still have ideas. You've got, sometimes when we're talking about something, it spurs an idea from another person in the group. And, you know, I want to encourage you to share your thoughts and ideas with each other in this forum. I want to take a little pause here and ask all of you a question. What's been a top takeaway from our conversation today? Is there anything that's really been valuable that stood out that you thought, ooh, I hadn't thought about it that way before, or anything that you found helpful in our discussion so far today? And I still can take a couple more questions if anyone has them. So feel free to type in a question, but I just wanted to take a quick pulse and find out what has been interesting, helpful, a good takeaway for you in today's call. All right. Any takers? I don't see anybody chiming in there. If there's anything in particular that was helpful. Kelly, hey there. Glad your philosophy is always be prospecting. That feels right to me, but I had a fellow consultant express otherwise. So, you know, one way to look at it, Kelly, too, again, as your business matures and you get more comfortable and you feel like you're starting to hit a stride, if you will, the other thing is to be thinking about it's connections. I'm just building my network. You know, it may not even feel as much like prospecting as it is just building your network, people that I really wanted to, I think, just really want to have in my network for future. That's one way to think about it. So yeah, I definitely wouldn't take too much time off. I mean, you know, you go on vacation for a week or something, obviously you're not going to do any prospecting that week. Or maybe you've just gotten slammed with client work and you took a week off because you wanted to catch up and didn't, you know, couldn't spare the extra time or whatever. Those should be one-offs. Those should be the occasionals. But for the most part, you should be prospecting on a weekly basis, regardless of your level of work. I certainly still do. Even when I'm busy, I'm reaching out to not yet readies. I'm still, and I do very different work now than I did when I started, but I still absolutely still following up with, hey, are you still interested? What's going on? Any updates? That kind of thing. Debbie said, URL that's easy to say and remember. Awesome. Alicia says, learning to be more introspective about myself regarding my business, not just saying things feel wrong, but digging into the why. I hadn't thought about that before. Good. I'm glad that was helpful. Yeah, sometimes you just, our minds tend to play tricks on us sometimes when we, especially in something like this, you know, you're new to this, you're trying to figure, find your way, you want to be successful, and you want to do work you enjoy. I understand it has taken me a while to get to a point where I have, I'm finally doing work that I really enjoy and with clients that I really enjoy. That didn't happen in the first 6 months, I can tell you. And sometimes some of us get lucky and that's the case where we just love what we're doing right out of the gate. I can think of a few people who've experienced that, but that certainly was not the case for me. I was the writing anything for anybody person when I first started 7 years ago. And then I, of course, met Ed Gandia and that all changed. So he really helped me fine tune over the years. So, right. Matt says, I'm better off just putting a stake in the ground. Absolutely. And expecting to evolve as I get more clients and decide what I do and don't like doing. Great. I'm glad that was helpful. Chris said, great suggestions about selecting a URL that's short and general enough to grow into. Yeah, it's not impossible. Obviously, I've done it a couple times where I've changed my URL, but it is not a great thing if you don't have to. you'd be better off not making changes if you don't have to. So I've had the URL I have now, I've had for several years and very happy with, and absolutely settled into my niche and my focus now, but it's taken me a couple of years to get there. So, but yeah, I probably had it 3 or 4 years now that I've been working on this particular messaging and this particular positioning, but it took a while to get there. So be patient, be really patient. All right. So any other questions? I've got time for maybe one or two more questions if anybody has any. And while we're waiting, I am going to ask one more question of you. If you don't have a question for me, what is your top action item? And it doesn't have to have anything to do with what we talked about today. It's just anything that you are focused on in the coming week. I can't believe that it's August 20th already. It's blowing my mind that we only have about a weekish, a little over a week left of the month of August. I have no idea what happened to August. But I know I've got some serious things to do between now and September. Is a crazy time. It's September can be a really crazy time. So my top action item is to get myself organized to get the last 4 months of the year. We get to September 1st. There's only 4 months left of the year. So for me, that always reminds me to get myself organized to make sure I'm on top of my follow-ups and reaching out to people. So that's my action item for the next week and a half. Kelly says, session 8, here I come. Yay. Good for you. Good for you. Matt says his action item is to submit his website for review by the end of the day tomorrow. Great. And then move on to the next module in training. Excellent. Can't wait to see it. Debbie says, complete the website and copy and begin warm email prospecting. Buh, buh, buh. Can't speak. Great. Chris is going to get back on track with Ed's course content after a tough few weeks with demanding day job deliverables. Oh, It's so hard. I did a full-time job when I first started as well. I was working full-time and trying to build my business. So I know exactly how challenging that can be. And I was a road warrior at the time. That was several years ago. And I was territory sales rep. So I was driving for hours and hours and hours every day. And then I'd have to come home and answer emails and do some writing. And it was just grueling. So I understand how painful that can be and how challenging. So it motivated me to get my business. And it was even more challenging when I started ramping my business up. I was actually getting more clients, and I was working 7 days a week. I was working every single Saturday and Sunday to try and meet my client needs while still driving around the countryside. So it was no fun, but luckily the good news is that it only lasted for a reasonably short period of time. But it can be challenging. So I definitely empathize with your, I hear you. I hear your pain. I feel your pain, I should say. All right. Well, great call today. Thank you. Thank you. We didn't have a huge group, but boy, you guys had some great questions and lots of good feedback for each other. Thank you for participating. Thank you for being active and sharing your ideas and sharing your questions. And I think I don't see any other questions. So I think we'll wrap up for today. This recording of today's call will be available tomorrow. So if you had to leave early, or for folks who weren't able to attend at all, it's usually available on Friday. So thank you again, all of you. I look forward to interacting with you on Facebook. Don't be shy there either. Please put your thoughts and questions out there. Let us help you. Ed and I check Facebook pretty much every day. I'm there every day. He's there pretty close to every day. We're here to help. So I want to encourage you to move forward and to do what you can. Keep going in the program and let us know how we can support you. And have a great rest of your day, and I'll see you guys on Facebook.